didn't recall sending those to you, but it wouldn't be the first time I had to call someone. I think it was a week and a half ago or so that Dan asked me if I would do the Mother's Day message, and I said, absolutely, why not? And then, as I was preparing for the message, I always like to start out by asking myself, what is a basic or simple question? That question is, what is a mother? I didn't ask anyone in the world because we just did. We don't know where that would end up, do we, here? We do not, but I kept asking myself that simple question, what does it mean to be a mother? Is a mother, what's the importance of a mother in the lives of children and this next generation? And then Wednesday night, Dan asked me while we were at Duke if I was okay to do this message. Seemed like a little bit of an odd question, but Dan's concern was because I didn't have what we would call the greatest example of earthly parents, right? Of biological parents. We'll say they had a checkered past. But by God's grace, there were many, many people who came alongside me who filled that void, who filled that role when my parents did not want, could not, and chose not to care for me. I had aunts and uncles that came alongside me. There was a neighbor lady who helped step in. One of my very best friends, Mike, his mother, we affectionately call her Miss Libby. She was a preschool teacher, and she came alongside and was always there to help guide me. My grandmother slid into that role and did her very best. And so I had lots of great examples of people showing me what it meant to be a mother and what it meant to be a godly person. And so this morning I want to take some of those characteristics that I saw and kind of list them out here before we hop into a text. The first thing I think is that a mother is someone who is there to shelter us, to guide us, to help us. They love us despite what we do. Right? There are many times in our upbringing and in our youth that we aren't making great choices. And no matter what happens, they were still there for us. They cared for us. They loved us. They seem to have an infinite amount of patience for us as we were young children because we weren't always doing what was right. There's a gentleness to a godly woman. There's a spirit of compassion and kindness and love. These women, these mothers, they're always there to provide swift reassurance for us. When we were children, some of our fears were very small, right? Three childish fears. I was afraid of the man under the bed, like the boogeyman. But here was my grandmother. Here were these women there to comfort us in those times of need. And it's almost as if they treasured you for who you were. And they were excited to see you grow and excited to see who you would become. And that heart that they had, looking back on it, I see it was filled with nothing but forgiveness. They've forgiven me for things that I didn't know that I had done. They've forgiven us for things that we knew we did. How many times as a young person was I told to not do X, and the first thing I did when they turned their head was to do that very thing? How many times was I disobedient, not listening, yet there was always that forgiveness, no matter how small or large the mistakes I made were. They were always, these women, these mothers, these godly women, they're always putting the needs of their family ahead of their own. I don't know how many times I've watched my wife sacrifice the thing that she wanted to make sure that Nora or I had what we needed. I don't know how many times my grandmother put aside her own desires to make doing that we do, all of the hurt that we cause them, they're there to utter words of compassion that take our cares, take away all these worries that we have away. Despite our actions, despite our behaviors, despite who we are. And these women possess incredible wisdom. They're so brilliant. They're wonderful. They have insights into the way the world works and the things we're experiencing. One, because they've experienced them, but mostly because they're counting on God. They fear the Lord, and they're there to make sure that we're filled with the desires to stand in awe of Him. But the thing that stands out most in all those things I listed is that they have wisdom and insight. Right? They know. They just know. And that's why I picked Proverbs 1, 7 through 9 this morning, where it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck." This morning, we've read the entire section of chapter 1, 1 through 9, and it starts out and it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel." I think it's important to understand who Solomon is. He's the son of David, the son of a great king, and he himself is a supreme and powerful king. People would bow in his presence, and they respected what he said and what he did, and he had all this authority and all of this honor. But he's saying, don't forsake what your mother's taught you. Listen to this instruction. Solomon treated his mother as a person of great authority in his life. Now, who knows what his mother's name was? Anybody? Just yell it out. Bathsheba. And she was a woman of interesting circumstances. We'll go that way. Right? His birth comes about by a very, very, very inappropriate manner, right? His father, David, had these very ugly circumstances. He takes Bathsheba as his wife. They have children. And so it'd be easy to look at her and say, well, look at this that she did. How can we respect and honor her? But he did honor her, did he not? In 1 Kings, it tells us that she came to speak to him on behalf of Adonijah, and he arose to meet her. And when he met her, he bowed before her. Now, this is a powerful king, the supreme man of all the land, and his mother walks into the room, he rises to meet her, and he bows to her. And then he had a throne seat set next to him so they could have a conversation. He honored his mother's position. He didn't expect her to be perfect. He knew that she wasn't perfect in her practice, but he respected her based on who she was. How many of us have been willing to honor our mothers or honor our fathers or honor those in authority over us when the circumstances of their life aren't the best? It's very easy for us to point to someone and say, you did X, I'm not going to provide you with the honor and that you're due based on your position. But Solomon honored his mother. He honored her position. He loved her. And he knew that she was due the respect. Now, none of the authors of none of the human authors of the Bible are perfect, are they? They're imperfect. But God would guide their hands and their thoughts, and then he preserved us for them in his very perfect word. And as we listen to God's word through Solomon today, I want us to understand that there are six insights from Proverbs 1, 7 through 9. The first thing I want us to gather is that the family, Now, Solomon, when he's speaking here, he takes for granted that there are mothers and fathers and children and a relationship of accountability. Right? There's an order. He understands that. He expects us to understand that. He says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." Families are God's idea, and they're God's plan. Now, the world would have you believe that families evolve over, is it billions now, millions, trillions, over a very long time, from when we came out of one cell to pond scum to frog to lizard to people, right? The world teaches us that we evolved over billions of years, but I promise you that the family is God's idea and he ordained it in creation. Look at Genesis 1:27, if you will. It says, "And God created man in his own image, in the image of God, he created him male and female, he created them." So God's creating man and woman, and he's bringing them together. Verse 28, "And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." That sounds like a family unit, right? Husband, wife, children. So we understand that the family is God's plan, it's God's way, and they're told husbands and wives are supposed to be fruitful and multiply, and they're to be a school for children, right? Again, in verse 8, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." What does that sound like? Instructing and teaching. Sounds like school. The father's the instructor, the mother's the teacher, therefore the family is a school. God ordained the family not to just fill the earth, but to fill the earth with a certain kind of people. What kind of people does he want the earth to be filled with? Instructed and taught people. The family is the place where the next generation is born and where the next generation learns to live. And we have to learn just about everything, yeah? I mean, we have to learn how to walk and how to talk and how to progress from eating with our fingers to using those fancy utensils, forks and spoons, and using a knife. And we learn how to ride a bike, and we learn all of these different things, and those are all important. But the most important thing families are teaching children is to fear the Lord your God. The family's goal, the father, the mother, is to instruct the next generation, right? Proverbs 22:6. "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." What does train up mean? Instruct. Instruct your children, specifically in the ways of the Lord. How many right ways are there to do things? One. Whose way is it? Wrong answer, Dan. It's not your way. There's only one right way, that's God's way, and that way leads to the kingdom. We need to start training our children very early on. We don't want to wait until they're 16 or 17 to teach them how to walk. We don't want to teach them how to use a fork and a spoon at 17 to eat. You can do that. We want to start training children early on. We want to enforce the fear of the Lord as soon as we can. And when we're enforcing God's ways, we need to do it in a loving way, but also with discipline. We need to have consistency in the lives of children. They need those people to come alongside them, to forgive them, to love them, to guide them, to instruct them. Now, some of you are sitting here today and saying, "Glad my children are grown. I got through it." Others of you might be sitting here with some grand teenagers, thinking, "I don't know how I'm ever going to get through it." Some of you are sitting here thinking back to when your children were growing up and thinking, "I don't know how we did it." Some of you are wondering when you're going to get married and start down this path of having a family. And as you look around this room, I want
the village?
It's true, because it's hard to raise children. It's hard to instruct them. It's hard to help train them up in the way that they should go. There are moments in our lives when we don't know where to turn or what to do. But that's why this assembly is so important. It's a family. It's a family. We're here for each other. We need to make sure that the foundation of our family is to teach and train and instruct them to fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In other words, we ask, what basis is the Father's instruction and Mother's teaching? What basis do we have as a church for training children? It's the fear of the Lord. And so our daily lives, the way that we live, the model of behavior, needs to all revert back to the fact that God is supreme. He is above all. I don't want you to sit there and think, oh, I need to be scared of a big problem in the sky. That's not what fear in the Lord means, right? We have no reason to be scared. We know that never forsake us. We know that there's nothing that can separate us from the Father and what we do. And we know that we have the promise that He is there for us, not for us. He doesn't leave us, but He is there too. So what does fearing God mean? It means having a reverence. It means that He is so supreme in your mind that everything you do impacts the way that you live your life. Right? Everything He thinks, says, and does as God impacts the way you live. You respect Him. You submit to Him. You understand that you have to worship Him. You worship Him in your heart. In prayer. Through singing, that we're worshiping God, we're singing out and crying to Him the thoughts of our heart, right? Our deepest needs. God, I need you. God, no matter how bad we are, your grace is mine. It's mine. So, as a family of families, as a church unit, we need to make sure that this is a place where children learn to God. That position. You see, the responsibility is not just of one parent, it's of all children, right? Under God, fathers and mothers share the responsibility of family instruction. Hear my son, your father's instruction, do not forsake your mother's teaching. It didn't say fathers instruct and mothers change diapers. No, it's that one. It doesn't say fathers go to work and mom do everything else. It doesn't say mothers also go to work and then let's all turn our responsibility over to someone else. No, it says fathers instruct and mothers teach. We share this responsibility. So this Mother's Day, I want us to encourage each other, encourage the women here. So come alongside younger people. Some of you have been down the road that Marcy and I are student marketing with a 15-year-old child. You have knowledge, experience, and wisdom getting through some of these situations. And if we struggle, the thing that we all need to do is make sure that we're reaching out to our family. This thing. We call that practicing being one. We love each other so much that we're willing to sacrifice to help bring up this next generation. Teaching children is a great privilege. Teaching children is a great responsibility. And teaching and instructing children can be a very scary thing. How many times have you sat back and said, hope someone else can help you? Any of you have variety teenage children? No one over here. I know. Somebody here must have children, right? Yeah, you've had some challenging children. And you've thrown your hands up and said, what do I do? And hopefully I said, my parents, my mother was not a Chinese immigrant. See her as Irish, Polish, I don't know. I mean, actually seen a great deal of her. I think once when I was 16, she showed up at Fisher's. I think, I can't remember. It was a flash in the pan sort of thing, right? So this woman wasn't there for me, and she couldn't do the things or instruct me the things that I needed, but as I said earlier, there were all these women in my life that helped. Now, Paul would write of the great responsibilities of Timothy, and he would say, I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which is first called in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure it is in you as well. Sincere faith is received and passed down by instructing and teaching. Now, it doesn't appear that Timothy had a father that was involved in instructing and teaching in the scriptures. By all accounts, his father was probably a Greek, right? Because that's why Timothy needed to be circumcised in the territory and all these things going around. But what he did have was a mother and a grandmother who passed down the scriptures to him. And what did those scriptures do for him, Dan? What did those scriptures do? The holy scriptures that were taught to him by his mother through his grandmother were able to give him wisdom. And that wisdom led to salvation in Christ Jesus. It's a remarkable testimony, is it not? His mother instructed him in the scriptures. She instructed him in the scriptures, and it led to his salvation. I can't imagine where any of us would be today if someone hadn't taken the time to instruct us in the scriptures, to proclaim the gospel of Christ Jesus to us. Where would you be without the gospel? Lost. Lost. But by God's grace, there were people in your lives that gave you the gospel, that instructed you in the scriptures, that brought you the information you needed to understand who Christ is, and to see yourself for who you are. God calls sons and daughters to be submissive to their parents, does he not? It's one of my favorite things. I think it's the first verse I ever taught Mara was, children, obey your parents. I like that one. I liked it a lot. Children, obey your parents. Anybody know where that's found? Ephesians 6:1. That's it. Look, they all knew it. Every parent teaches them to obey their parents, right? Don't you go on from there. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It is the first commandment with the promise that ye may live long on the earth. Children, obey. That's it, right? Children, obey. That's our fifth point, right? Children are called to be submissive to their parents. And in verse 8 it says, hear my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Those are two commandments, right? They're two commands that warn against temptation and rebellion. If the child is in the home, the temptation of rebellion is to not listen. Anybody have children that fail to listen at times? Yep. Wow. Jim, you didn't raise your hand. We'll need some wisdom from you later. Right? But the temptation is to rebel and not listen to your parents. So Solomon says, hear your father's instruction. And if your children are away from home, the temptation is to forsake your mother's teaching. What does it say? It says to put it aside and do whatever is going on. You know, our jobs as parents, and specifically as mothers, is to help insulate those children from all the things that are going on in the world, right? We want to protect them from them. But at some point in time, our children are going to leave the house. They're leaving the bubble, the cocoon that we've created. And when they go out, our biggest fear, or at least my biggest fear, is that she's going to forsake the teaching of the mother. She's going to do whatever is out there in the world. She's going to go down a path that isn't good. Did any of you fear that they'd go away to college and be changed completely, they'd forget the way that they were brought up. And you know, when we look at the world around us, these children go to college and then they're being taught radical things, right? That are contrary to what God believes. And that's the real fear that we have, that they're going to forsake what their mothers taught them. Colossians 3:20. Children, guess what it says? Be obedient to your parents in all things. I like that. Be obedient to your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And again, my favorite, spivey children, Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This obedience is, children being obedient to their parents is learning to be submissive to authority figures. Right? It's important in God's eyes that he made it a part of the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and mother. Honor your mother by remembering what she has taught you. She's taught you all these things about what is right and wrong. She's taught you all of these things, how to fear God, how to live in awe of him. Honor them based on their position, not based on their practice. As my own child can tell you, my practice is not perfect. This is wrong. She shook her head, no, it's not perfect. But I hope that she knows that as parents, her goal is to point them in the direction of God. Mothers are working hard every day to make sure that their children know the love of Christ. Brings us to our sixth and final point. It says, God ordains a reward for sons and daughters who do not forsake the teaching of their mother and father. Verse 9. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. It literally says, because you hear your father's instruction and you're not forsaking your mother's teaching, they are graceful ornaments to you. This verse makes it clear that the instruction of fathers and the teaching of mothers is rooted in the fear of the Lord, and that it's the first commandment with a promise, and that the commandments, I'm sorry, I jumped ahead. Did you see what I did there, Jerry? I skipped an entire section of my notes. Because these are ornaments about their neck, it makes it clear that the instruction of fathers and mothers is rooted in the fear of the Lord. And that's good news for children, right? But you don't always feel that way. I didn't always feel that way as a child, right? When I was being instructed, I didn't view it as good news that I was being instructed in the fear of the Lord. Kind of felt like it was the opposite. Felt like it was a punishment at times. But because we're to honor the position, because the instructions in the fear of the Lord, it means that this command of honoring the father and mother is a promise that helps to bring you to salvation. Timothy's own life. Grandmother, mother, faithful women of God, fear the Lord. That heritage, that instruction, is what brought in the salvation of Christ. Now, for those of you who maybe didn't have the best home lives growing up, maybe you had a mother like mine, look at the women who have been in your life who proclaim the gospel of Christ to you. Look at the women who have come alongside you and helped soothe your fears. You know, I'm 42 years old. It's old Jerry. But I still remember the women who helped me, who guided me, who sacrificed for me, who cared for me. I'm sure Beth, many of the children that you've brought into your home, remember that you sacrificed for them, that you loved them, that you cared for them, even though they weren't quote unquote norms. I want to make sure that we leave here today embracing the fact that women can
that they love us. That no matter how old you are, whether your mom's here or not, she's still instructing and teaching. I'm sure Dan hears the voice of his mother when he's making decisions. He remembers all the years of instructing and teaching. I'm sure my wife remembers the voice of her mother. She's still here. She still gets to hear her voice. But she remembers the things she was taught as a child. She remembers the things that her grandmother taught her as a child. She remembers the faith that her grandmother had and how simple it was. It was trust God and better days are coming. Believe God, better days are coming. Just a simple childlike faith that she passed on to the next generation. What a special gift. What a special gift. There's so much compassion. There's so much love that they have. And I'm grateful for it because we're not that way sometimes, are we, Jerry? We're created differently. We're created differently. But God, in His infinite wisdom, gave us helpmates that are here to come alongside us and fill in the gaps. So remember, God's job is to be able to not to make us. God's job is to be able to ask our friends to respect us. And when He does, then He's going to be able to see the truth. And there is the one thing to do. The greatest display of sacrificial love that I've ever heard of the Lord calls it. I strongly believe the only reason I was able to see how great that sacrificial love is because of the sacrifice He spent on the other life. The sacrifice of Calvary was the most beautiful thing that I've ever heard in history. Jesus, perfect in every way, sinless, and a shame child, is nailed to a cross, and His own Father poured out His wrath on Him, so that people just like us can be saved. I ask all of you to think about the dying that you see in the way of places. Be willing to instruct them in the ways of Christ. Every neighbor is trying to make their children in the way of Christ. I don't feel the pain in this moment. Father, this morning as we are here celebrating, God, we ask you to come and do it. I thank you, Father, that you're willing to pick up the cross, that you're willing to carry the cross, that you're to push the next generation through. Father, I know that at times it can be challenging to them because of the way that children can be. The disobedience that they have, the behaviors that they have. So grateful, Father, that you've given special men a place to forgive us and reward. But they're just willing to do their work as you do. Father, I hope today is a week that we can all celebrate the special men in our lives, that they can be renewed in spirit, and they can see just how much they've meant